Just keep Kevin at the piano for a moment, but I want to read you a prophetic word that maybe you just need to close your eyes and just receive this word. It came in Living Word Ministries in Minnesota in their staff prayer time, but he said, the Lord said, these are days of ascending, for I will take you up, up, up to higher places. I will take you up and open your eyes and reveal to you that which is to come. I will now lift you up, and your eyes will see farther than you've seen before. And my plan shall be brought forth in the earth. For you see, there is a blueprint in heaven that has been drawn since the foundation of time. And I've been turning the pages of this blueprint, and my body is reaching completion. We're in the latter pages now. And I'm about to fill my body with the glory that shall cause it to be without spot and without blemish before my second coming. My people must see and know the blueprint. Therefore, the spirit of seeing and knowing shall increase in this hour, and you will know the realm of the spirit. So lift yourselves up and position yourselves in my glory. Position yourselves on a daily basis to touch my presence, no longer running around so busy that you have no time for me. And as you do, the church, my sleeping giant, shall arise, not in their own strength, but in my power, saying what they hear and doing what they see. And in them this earth shall see a demonstration of me. As you do, for never have there been days like these days, days where the things of the Spirit are so available to you. In times past, your spirit cried out to know more of me and to have change. But in this day, there is an atmosphere for you to receive change, for you to walk in the higher places of the Spirit. So as you give place to my Spirit, you will touch more and more of me. Let go of the natural wants of the flesh and quit touching them continually with your minds. But instead, look to me and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And the changes you desire will happen in you. So give yourself to me, even now. Draw closer, says the Lord. You know, there's different times and different seasons when a current of the Spirit will minister to you, just like during revival now, that song, No Limits, No Boundaries. But as I was reading this today, it just brought it to my mind, Lord, just making that definitive time every day to touch God and let him touch you. And this is just a song that does it for me, so I'm just going to ask him to play it. You don't have to watch the DVD. You can just listen. But let it be the cry of your heart that you'll come to him. He's just saying, come to me, come to me, come to me. Hallelujah.
I am the Lord your God. I go before you now. I stand beside you, and I'm all around you. Though you feel I'm far away, I'm closer than your breath, and I am with you more than.
Come to me, I'm more.
to the left, but keep your eyes on me. You will not be shaken, you will not be moved, oh. I am the hand to hold, I am the truth, I am the way, yeah.
He's everything we need. He's everything we need. He's got all the answers in his hand. He's got all the solutions. You've got the questions. You've got the problems, but he's got the solutions. He's got the answers. Amen. And he said, just come to me. Just come to me. Be persistent to come. That's the simple part. You know what? We don't have the complicated part. If anybody's got the hard part, it's God. But nothing's too hard for him. We weren't created to have the solutions. Elevators have limits. Bridges have limits. Psalms 119, verse 96 says, everything human has its limits. But God has no limits. So when we take the limits off and we say no limits, no boundaries, we have to take it off of our prayer life too. We have to take it off of what we can expect and what we can believe. We have to yield to the greater one and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it this time. And not ask so many why questions and just simply ask, what's next? You know, things don't always work out as we think that they're going to. Things don't always come about as we think they're going to, but he's always got a plan. Just this winter, Steve and I published a book that was out of print for many years. It was in public domain. It was written in 1915 by Reverend Will Harney, and you've heard me mention it. It's now available in the bookstore. But this book is all about persistence in prayer, really. I mean, it's written shortly after the Azusa Street Revival. It's a revivalist writing it. He was carrying revival into the cities and the villages around. And, you know, just because all that broke out in Azusa Street didn't mean that it was just all over, just easy. You know, just to go into an area and just see revival. I mean, they were plowing. They were plowing. Just like we think sometimes, we're plowing. We're plowing, but we expect a harvest. And we don't have any doubt that our seeds, the Word of God, is an incorruptible seed, and it has the power within it to produce. But I love the way it's written, and some of it's, you know, slightly old-fashioned in that sense. But, you know, we have to get back to some old-fashioned praying. There was a day when those of our heritage, Pentecostals, use the term all the time, praying through. But most people don't even know that term now. It's like, well, we just pray by faith, and we believe we received it, and we got it. And there are certain things that are our redemptive rights in God that belong to us that we can pray and believe we received, and that settles it. But there are a lot of things when it comes to interceding on behalf of others, when it comes to the plan of God for your own life, and praying out that plan takes a consistency and a persistence to see the fullness of what God wants to happen. Because the enemy will resist you at every side. And if he can throw obstacles and hindrances in your path so that you'll just lose courage, give up, and quit, then he'll do it. But that's where the persistence comes in. Let me just read a little passage from this. It says, your community needs a great rain. It would not hurt your church to have a plentiful shower. Why not besiege heaven with all your ransomed powers and with all your God-given artillery? Why not keep at it until thunder peals and lightning flashes, the clouds rise and the rains fall? Why not keep at it until the fire falls and the bullocks are burned up and the wood and all the stones and the 12 barrels of water are licked up? Why not keep at it until the Red Sea's open and the Jordan gives a dry path and the towering walls of Jericho bow submissively at our feet? Why not keep at it until the manna falls, quails drop at our tent door, and a great Mississippi flows through your life? Why not keep at it until lions' mouths are locked and fiery furnaces are quenched? Pentecost is ushered in, and the rushing mighty wind fills your church and your community. Why not keep at it until the Philippi jail takes the Quaker shakes and shakes her doors and shutters from the hinges. The bands and the stocks and the chains and the balls fall from the wrists and the ankles. Then a great light illuminates and men rush to Christ crying, "What must I do to be saved?" Why not keep at it until the whole community knows that we are in the battle? Why not keep at it until God throws a telescope from heaven to the Isle of Patmos? Amen? Why not just keep at it? Why not just be persistent and keep at it? So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about what the old-time Pentecostals called praying through. Now, we're going to start right over there where Pastor started off tonight in Luke 18, if you want to turn with me to that passage. It's a really great one about persistence. Amen. We read of that little widow woman that just wouldn't give up. And he said in verse 2, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced or feared God nor respected or considered man. And then there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary.' And for a time he would not, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have neither reverence nor fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me an intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming. Or at the last she come and rail on me and assault me or even strangle me.'" Wow. She must have been one tough cookie. "Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God?'" He's not protecting, you know, he's not comparing himself to the unjust. He's saying, "I'm a just God. And will not our just God protect and avenge his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this persistence in faith in the earth?" There's an aspect to our prayer life that God's looking to find when he comes back. He's looking to find persistence. Now, I'm no, you know, I'm no expert on exercise. But I do know enough to know that when you lift weights, you'll build muscles. Amen? When you press resistance, something changes. And the same thing happens in the realm of prayer. While you're being persistent in prayer, you're exercising muscles. You have no idea what is down the road of your life that you may need to have a few muscles for. I know I've faced a few things that I needed some muscles for, and sometimes they were there and sometimes they weren't. Sometimes I had to go quickly and start exercising and run to that word and start, you know, pumping it again. But there have been times because of the steadfastness of the word of God in my life that I have been able to take hold of the word, and I've been able to stand, and having done all to stand, I've been able to stand some more. Amen? And I've been able to persist and get through, because we're getting through things. We're all going through things. I don't like it any more than you do that we have stuff. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Passing through the valleys of weeping, we can make them a place of springs." Where are we going to get springs in the midst of affliction? You're going to get them right out of your belly, where God promised you a river of living water, springs and rivers of living water. And you're going to have to exercise and build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. That's where the waters are. That's where the springs are that help you in the times of afflictions to make it a watered place instead of a dry and thirsty place where you're miserable and you're afflicted and it's hard. You make it a place of springs by opening up the well. Opening up your well and beginning to water it. Water your ground around you. Pray into the circumstances. Pray into the plan of God, because he said, "My plan is to deliver you out of them all." So while you're praying out the plan, and you're standing and you're persisting against that. And you've not got an unjust judge. You know, one of the greatest devil's lies that there is in the earth is that God is trying to withhold something from us. Do you know that started in the garden? It started right with Adam and Eve in the garden. And the devil still tries to tell us, well, you know, God's withholding that from you. He's withholding that money you need. He's withholding that healing you need. He's withholding that healing in that relationship. He's withholding from you a husband or a wife. And you're just so lonely. It's the first lie in the Bible. And he continues to lie to us. And he withholds no good thing, Psalms 84 says. No good thing does God withhold from those that walk uprightly. So what we have to do in that persistence, see, he was saying, am I going to find somebody who's confident enough in me that they know and believe that I answer prayer, that no matter how long they have to stand, no matter how much stuff they have to go through, no matter how many times they have to knock and seek and ask, they're going to just keep on asking, they're going to keep on seeking, and they're going to keep on knocking until the door opens, until they see the manifestation of what they're believing for. People say, well, how long should I pray about this? Pray until it's settled. Pray until it's done. Pray until you have the manifestation. You say, well, am I in faith if I'm doing that? Of course you're in faith. You're thanking God that you know it's a finished deal, and you're pressing. You're pressing into that place. You're saying, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it manifest in my life. I'm having it. I'm not settling for anything else. I'm not going to tolerate anything else. I know it's mine. I know it belongs to me, so I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to stay in there. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to be a coward. You know what cowards do? Cowards run. You ever felt like just running? I can remember the devil used to hit me so hard as a young Christian. He just hit me so hard, I'd get knocked down, and sometimes I would just lay there and play dead. Do you remember those? I mean, just lay down and play dead, because maybe if I play dead, he'll leave me alone, go bother somebody else. That's what I would think. I'm just going to lay here and play dead. You know, because my personality is very phlegmatic. I don't like conflict. And I used to think that if I could just get along with the devil, you know, if we could just be friends somehow, or somehow we could just, you know, come to a place of agreement where I don't bother you, you don't bother me. But he doesn't play fair. He's going to keep on bothering you. He's going to keep on harassing you. He's going to keep on trying to knock you out. And you're going to have to be persistent. Amen. So Luke 18, that insistence, she had an insistence, and God is not an unjust judge. He just wants us to be confident. John Wesley often quoted as saying, it seems to me that God could not do anything in the earth unless people pray. It seems to me, John Wesley said, that God can do nothing in the earth unless people pray. A lot of times people just say, well, you know, if God wants it to happen, you know, it will. But it won't unless you pray. It won't unless you believe. Even the birth of Jesus was prayed through by saints like Simeon and Anna. Anna never left the temple for 84 years. A widow, she fasted and prayed and remained in the temple for 84 years. Why? Because she had a promise from God that she was going to be alive when the Savior was born. And she just wouldn't settle for anything less. She contended for it. She prayed for it. She fasted and prayed day and night because she was going to be alive when the Savior was born. And she got to see it with her own eyes. She got to experience what the promise of God had spoken to her. You may think that God can just go through any door he wants to. I mean, we say it all the time. God's sovereign. He can just do anything he wants to. But John 10:23 says the great shepherd needs someone to open the door for him. He called them a watchman. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is the ultimate watchman. He's the one who opens the door. But you know what? The Holy Spirit has to pray in and through you and I. We're the voice for the Holy Spirit in the earth. So unless we pray, unless we open doors, unless we clear paths, isn't that what Isaiah 40 says? It says, you know, cry aloud. Cry aloud. Let's go over there for a minute. Isaiah Chapter 40, clear the way. We could look at the New Testament way too, but verse 3 in chapter 40 of Isaiah, a voice of one who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord, clear away the obstacles, make straight and smooth the desert, a highway for our God. We see it again in the New Testament with John coming, clearing the way. Opening the way for Jesus to come. Opening the way for the Holy Spirit to descend upon the earth and begin his work in the earth. Someone was praying. Someone was standing in the gap. Someone was holding that place in prayer. Amen? Reading in the book of Acts, you'll see that the early church opened the way for every major move of God in prayer. In Acts chapter 1, 120 gathered in the upper room. They stayed. They were in one accord. They had one mind. They were in full agreement. They devoted themselves steadfastly. That's another word for persistently to prayer. They stayed there. How many days? They were there for days, more than a day, more than a few hours. They stayed there. They continued to pray. But as the result of that, what was the result of it? 3,000 souls in one day? I mean, persistent prayer pays off. Amen? In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been arrested, threatened, charged not to preach anymore. But they returned to their company, and they prayed out the plans for the future. You know, as they went back, and we can turn over there too, to Acts chapter 4. As they came back to their own company, they didn't just sit there and rehearse, you know, well, we're in trouble now, and, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. No, they just started praying into the plan of God. Let's turn over there. After they were permitted to go, verse 23, chapter 4, the apostles returned to their own company and told all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And then when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together. Have you ever gone and just told all your problems to somebody like, you just wouldn't believe what they just did to me, and you just poured it all out? And the response of their company was, let's get on it in prayer. Everybody needs somebody they can pour their heart out to. And God, ultimately, above all, is someone you can pour your heart out to. I love the fact that God wants to hear every detail of your need. I've said it before, but I don't have anybody in my house that wants to hear the details. So the fact that God wants to hear the details of my need, I mean, it's refreshing, you know? He wants to hear the details. But you know what? When you've got a company that thinks prayer, you know, that's their response to difficulties. That's their response to challenges. You know, they think prayer. You know, when I got the call the other day about Stacy, I didn't go, oh, wow, gee, that's really something. That's tough. Wow, Tom. Sorry to hear that. Hope you have a great Saturday. You know, I thought prayer. We've got to pray. We've got to take hold of this and pray. And that's what happened here for Peter and John. They returned, and then they joined with them, and they began to pray. They lifted up their voice with one mind and one heart. Amen. And verse 29 says, as they were praying, they're saying, and now, Lord, observe their threats. You know, we're talking about this is happening to us. This is real. We're not denying it. But we're going to pray out into the future, and we're going to ask you to grant your bondservants full freedom to declare your message. They're telling us to stay quiet. We're praying into our tomorrow. We're asking you for full freedom. We're asking you for beyond this affliction, beyond this trial, beyond this situation we're facing. We're going to persist in what you've called us to do. And so we're praying again. We're praying again, Lord God, for full freedom. We've already prayed for that before. Lord, make us bold. Give us boldness, you know. But now we're praying again. And we're going to pray for you to grant us freedom to declare your message while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders and miracles. They're saying, okay, we're going to start praying into signs and wonders and miracles now. We're just going to be persistent, and we're not going to let this stop us. We're going to push through it. We're going to press through it. And in prayer, we're going to start to pray into the signs and wonders and miracles that are on the other side of this. Amen? So they stayed with it. They stayed with it in prayer. And then what was the results? It says in chapter 5 that by the hands of the apostles, this was their answer to their prayer. Numerous and startling signs and wonders were performed among the people. More and more people were added to the Lord, those who believed, and the people gathered from the towns and the hamlets all around, bringing the sick and those that were troubled with foul spirits, and they were all cured. Wow, sounds like some great answers to prayer. How about after James was killed and Peter was in prison over there in Acts chapter 12? It says fervent prayer for him was persistently made to God by the church. They prayed day and night. Well, what were they doing praying day and night? Why didn't they pray for the day and go to bed? Because they were being persistent in prayer. They'd already lost James. They knew that wasn't the will of God. They knew that James was a valuable part of the kingdom, and the enemy had been able to snuff him out. That Herod got in there and took the life of James, and they were already preparing to kill Peter. It says Herod was really pleased. He said the Jews were very pleased when he killed James. You know, the body of Christ was going, but the rest of the Pharisees were all clapping and shouting, good job, Herod. Let's go after some more of them. And so they knew they had to do some praying. Amen? So they went in there and they got persistent in prayer and they prayed day and night and they held to it. As a matter of fact, they were being so persistent and so intent in prayer that when Peter showed up at the door, they didn't even let him in. I mean, that's persistence in prayer. They were so caught up in being persistent and intentional in prayer. All through the Bible, there are examples of those who prayed through. You know, Pastor already mentioned Elijah 7 times. He sent the servant. You see anything yet? He didn't just sit there and say, I have a promise. He went back and put his head between his knees again. And I love how Will Harney says it. He says he shut up his lookers. He shut down his lookers. You know, sometimes you just have to close your eyes. Sometimes you just can't look at things. You can't, you know, there's times when, you know, I just can't look at the natural situation. I just have to shut off my lookers. I can remember the last time the presidential elections came around and, you know, I was watching and praying. And all of a sudden a day came when the Lord just said, just turn off your lookers. Just turn off your lookers. And right now I learned my lesson. I've already turned off my lookers. I'm not listening and looking and hearing and, you know, I'm just praying. Amen. Just pray through. You know, sometimes you just need to turn off your lookers. Some of the situations you're facing, you just need to turn off your lookers and just pray clear through. And so he stayed praying and he kept praying until he saw the manifestation. All it took was that small cloud. Once he saw that the manifestation's on its way, and then he began to take a new direction. And, you know, the same thing should be in our life. We can stay with it until we see the manifestation. Sometimes we've been taught so much that prayer of faith, but that's not the only prayer. You know, the prayer of faith is not the only prayer. Every prayer is prayed in faith. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just talking about the prayer of faith is not the only way to pray. There's a consecration in prayer. There's a consistency and a persistency in prayer. So we need to know all fathoms of prayer. And in the bookstore, we've got a great book by Brother Hagin. I know we carry it in there. About all the forms of prayer. Is that one? What's the name of that one? Is it All Kinds of Prayer, I think it's called. All Kinds of Prayer by Brother Hagin. Great one. If you're just learning about prayer and you want to see the different facets of prayer, All Kinds of Prayer. But this one we're talking about tonight is being persistent in prayer. Amen? Daniel read in the book of Jeremiah where 70 years captivity had ended for the children of Israel. He just read it in a book. It'd be like reading a map and saying, you know, we should be there by now. You know, we've been on 95 all the way from Boston, and we're on our way to Florida, and we've been driving for 33 hours. We ought to be there by now. What are we doing in Arkansas? You know, and Daniel just looked, and he saw we should be there by now. They should already be released. They should already be walking in freedom. And so what does the scripture say? It says he set his face to seek the Lord. He set his face to seek the Lord, and he kept seeking. He kept seeking the Lord until he saw that breakthrough. Just like I said a moment ago, some think that if it's God's will, it will happen, but not without prayer. The devil will see to it. He will oppose and hinder until we take our authority in prayer. And with the promises of God and with the prophetic word, wage a good warfare. Most everybody in this house has had a prophetic word. Or a word that directly has spoken to them from this Bible. And that's a prophetic word. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, thus saith the Lord to you. If you've had God's word illuminate in your heart and you say, this, God's speaking to me. I wrote one down this morning. I woke up and I said, okay, I opened the Bible to begin to read this morning. And right there in front of me was a word from God. I said, wow, what a gift today, Lord. You just gave me a special gift today. That was a word from God for me. And I marked it and I dated it because God was speaking to me. And with those promises, with those words, we wage a good warfare. We hold God in remembrance of his word, not because he's a forgetful God, but because as you hold God in remembrance of his word, it puts you in remembrance. You need to hear it over and over again. When you begin to speak it out of your mouth, it puts God back in remembrance of that, but it puts you in remembrance of what God has promised. That's exactly what happened over there in 2 Chronicles with Jehoshaphat. It says they began to hold God in remembrance of his word like he'd forgotten, but they'd forgotten. They were facing an immense battle, and they just felt like God had forsaken them. Well, can God bring us through this? I mean, we made a mistake. If you go back a chapter in 19, you're going to find out that Jehoshaphat didn't have, quote unquote, a leg to stand on. He had allied himself with false gods. He'd married out of the culture. I mean, he would really messed up. Every reason to think that God wouldn't be there for him. I'm sure the devil was taunting him, saying, who are you to pray and ask God to intervene now? But he began to hold God in remembrance of his word. Are you not the God? Are you not the God who said you would deliver us? Are you not the God who gave us this land? He said, are they going to drive us out of the land you gave us? And all of a sudden, what happens? God speaks prophetically to him and said, don't worry about this. I got you covered. I got you covered. I'm fighting this battle for you. You're not going to need to fight in this battle. This is what you need to do. You need to stand still. You need to see your salvation. And you need to know God is with you. And you need to continue to stand right there, right still, seeing your deliverance, speaking of the goodness of God, and holding fast to what you believe. And I'll take care of this for you. God always gives us the easy part. I mean, we think that's so hard. Oh, I got to stand. But you don't have to win the battle over the enemy. You just have to stand. And really, in light of what's facing you, that's nothing. But it's a big thing to us because it's not so easy to always stand when you got winds of adversity trying to blow you over. You know, you've ever been out in a place where winds are blowing against you and it's hard to stay on your feet? You've been those places in the spirit. I know you have. It's hard to keep your balance. But you know what? Isaiah says, the knowledge of the Lord shall be the stability of our times. Even when you feel out of balance, the knowledge of the Lord shall be the stability. He's the solid rock you can stand on. Amen? You can take and keep hold of God. Even when the rivers are flowing and the current is changing and you're in the river and all the debris is with you, you can hang on to him. Amen? So Luke 9:11-10, we've already shared the scripture, but I'll do it in context of where we are right now. Luke says, so ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will open. James 4:2 says, you lust and have not. You desire and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. I love what John R. Rice said. He said, the world around us struggles and strives and schemes. He said, but that's not God's way for us as believers. We're to ask. You don't have to scheme anymore. You don't have to struggle anymore. You don't have to strive anymore like you did in the world. You can ask God. He's a very present help in time of need. John 15, Jesus told the disciples, up until this time, you've asked nothing in my name. Why don't you think they'd ask anything in his name up until that time? It must be that all of their needs were liberally supplied and filled to the full. He was taking care of everything. They didn't have to ask anything. He said, but now you're going to start asking and you're going to receive that your joy may be full, complete, and overflowing. It's going to be a new day for you. I'm going to be moved out of the way. The comforter's going to come. I'm no longer going to call you servants. You're friends. And you can talk to God directly. You can ask what you need. You can use my name as leverage. Amen? And I'll perform the word for you. You can trust me to bring you through every situation. You got to just persist in it. Stay with it. Keep on asking. Because everyone that asks receives. And everyone that seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And everyone that knocks and keeps right on knocking. The door will open. The door will open. Amen. He says, so you can be confident of this. You can be confident of this very thing. If you ask anything in my name, I'll hear you. And if you know that I hear you, and you believe that, then you know that you can have the petitions that you ask for when you pray. Amen. I was thinking about you this week, David. I was thinking, do you ever get out there on the road and out there with that tent? Do you ever have anything that you have to be persistent about? Come here and tell me a story. I want to hear a story of some of the persistence out on the road. Let's give it up for David.
My initial answer to that question is everything. You have to be persistent about everything out there. We're pioneering a work. You know, people aren't doing soul winning and healing crusades outdoors nowadays. It was a big thing, but the Lord's called us to do it, and it's going good. I've just been telling people so far this year, it's been very, very challenging, but very, very good all at the same time. And I guess the first story, the biggest story that I would think of is we were tearing down our crusade equipment from the valley in McAllen, Texas, in Far. We did our first crusade in Far, Texas, which is where R.W. Shambach got thrown in jail, if you've ever heard the story. He got thrown in jail there several times, like four nights in a row, and they finally reversed the decision. What was that? Yeah. They finally reversed the decision and let him back out of jail, and he had a great move of God. But we started there, and we tore down our equipment, and we had this small trailer. God's blessing our ministry right now. We're getting a lot bigger trailer, but we had a small one. And I'm telling you, it was a work of art. Jason and I spent like 4 days jam-packing this trailer. I mean, front to back, ceiling to floor. If something didn't fit, you'd have to pull out 5 feet of stuff, rearrange it, and put it all back in there. And I'm telling you, after about 3 or 4 days, we finally got this thing loaded down. And we're 2 days behind schedule already. And I'm driving north on Highway 281, and I'm like, I know better than what I'm doing. I know we should not have this trailer where we had this thing. We had so much weight on this trailer. It was not smart. And but we just didn't have a choice. I mean, if somebody had written us a $50,000 check, we could have done something about it, but it didn't happen. And so I'm on the phone, and I call Mom. Mom's our prayer intercessor warrior for my ministry. Thank God for Mom. Why don't you raise your hand, Mom? Y'all give my mom a hand clap. I'm telling you, Pastor, you know, you hear where Paul and Timothy, he talked to Timothy, and he talks about the faith of your mother and your grandmother, Lois or Louise. And my grandmother Barker, my mom's mom, had a prayer ministry and a mantle on her before she passed away. When we were growing up in the 80s, it's rabbit trailing, I'm sorry, but and rabbit trailing on prayer, so I may be getting back on the subject. But when we were growing up in the 80s, our family started serving God, and I remember my mom took me aside in third grade and gave me the speech. She was playing tennis and was very good at it, but something happened in my mom's life, and she took me in the utility room. I still remember this to this day. I was only in third grade. She took me in the utility room, and I remember this. She said, we're turning this family around. Things are changing. And I'm telling you, the fire of God came in my mom's life, and it was never the same. But the devil came and attacked. I didn't have terrible, terrible asthma until that day. I mean, I didn't suffer in school and have to go to the health room or whatever it's called. I mean, after that, I spent hours and days, and the devil came and attacked our family. It was obvious. The devil hated the move that my mom made. And so we would call our grandmother Barker. And I'm telling you, my grandmother would begin to pray. And I'm telling you, it's like the clouds of the devil coming and attacking our family. Within an hour, you could just feel it was like the clouds broke. And all of a sudden, there's an open heaven over our family. And now the same thing happens when my mom begins to pray. So I call my mom a lot. I'm telling you, because we're not doing something that's easy. We're not doing something that's easy. We're not following the easy pattern. And I thank God for what He's called us to do. I mean, that having Calvary Cathedral and Pastor Bob behind us is just amazing. I'm so thankful for Pastor and for you and Joy. I'm so thankful. And so anyway, I'm calling my mom. I'm driving north on 281 by myself. I've got about a 3-hour drive going to Corpus Christi with this trailer, and it's about 6 in the evening. And I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, this thing is. We need prayer. This trailer's loaded down too heavy. I said, we may need a miracle just to make it to Corpus Christi. And so we pray, and I'm like, Lord, we just thank you for favor. This trailer makes it. Lord, just let us make it to Corpus Christi. I mean, we look like the Beverly Hillbillies going up to Corpus Christi, because I had aluminum trusses all across the top, strapped down a ladder on top of the trusses. I mean, you couldn't put anything else in that trailer. And so here we go, and as soon as we say amen, boom, I look, and I see in the side view mirror a tire blows. And Mom's still encouraging me, and I'm like, Mom, Mom, Mom. And she's still encouraging me. I'm like, Mom, Mom, I have to go. The tire just blew. So we pull over to the side of the road, and you know, just so you can have a little background on persistence you asked about, it's not like, you know, I didn't see this problem coming. I mean, I had in January, I can't give you all the details, but we already stepped out in faith in a major way for a bigger truck and trailer, and it just didn't come when I wanted it to come. And timing is everything, and I don't understand everything about the timing of God, but it just didn't come then. And so it's not like this caught me by surprise or we were just not thinking. I was fully aware that we were pushing the envelope way beyond. And so this tire blows, and so I pull over on the side of the road, and we've got a trailer. The axle had bent, and I don't have a spare, and it wouldn't have mattered if we'd have had a spare, because when we finally did get a spare, we put it back on, and that blew. To make a long story short, between the equipment trailer and our RV, I counted the other day, we had from January up until when we came up for a revival, Jason, the guy that travels with me, he just went to Shreveport, Little Rock, and Springfield the last few weeks after Revival Now. And we bought this RV that God blessed us with, and it came with some bad tires. So, to make a long story short, between the equipment trailer and the RV, we've had 7 blown tires over the last few months. And I can laugh about it now, but I'm telling you, we were not laughing when that happened. Oh, my goodness. So that first tire blew. And I'm calling J.D. Thomas. I'm calling other people that I know, trying to figure out what are we going to do. And so anyway, I have to sleep in the truck. I call and talk to my dad. I'm like, Dad, we've got all of our equipment. My entire ministry is sitting there parked on the side of 281. And a wrecker came, and he puts his big old hydraulic thing under there. And the trailer, the back end of it was so low that it was touching the ground. There was no space left because the axle's bent and it was already overloaded. So now the back of the trailer is touching the ground. And this guy's getting his hydraulic lift on the back of his wreck and towing truck, and he's just jamming it in there, and he's like trying to get underneath. He's like, wham, wham, and he finally gets it underneath and tries to lift it, and he can't lift it. And he was an old cusser guy. I mean, just foul mouthed. And I learned something about that. I trusted him too much, and he actually damaged the equipment even more. It was like, if you have a situation where you need the wisdom of God, you need to get a Christian that has the wisdom of God. Not somebody that's using God's name in vain. They're not going to get the wisdom of God on how to do something. It's impossible. So just a tidbit for you right there. I learned the hard way. He damaged our trailer even worse, made things worse, and took an hour and a half out of the schedule. So anyway, he came and did everything he could. And in the meantime, another tire blew because he was trying to get me to drive on this thing. There's the story is longer and it gets worse. So, I really didn't think that this kind of thing could happen in the U.S. I was like, this only happens in the Congo or in Baghdad. That's what I really thought. I thought you couldn't be this stranded. You can't be this remote. I didn't think this could happen in Texas. I thought you have to be in the Congo. You have to be in Baghdad or something. And I got stranded there, so I had to. Thank God I had some leftover sandwich from Jason's Deli that I ate. And so I ate it that night. I had to sleep in the truck for 2 days. I couldn't shower. I couldn't shave. I couldn't brush my teeth. I couldn't change clothes. And I lived in that truck for 2 days. Don't quit. I have thought about that so many times. Let me see that thing. I will keep this one. I've thought about that so many times. You know, because sometimes in your zeal, you're like, I'm never going to want to quit. But your flesh is like, I want to quit. But obedience, you just obey. You just obey. There are no questions asked. And anyway, so I was stuck there on the side of the highway. And We had to rent a Ryder truck to come get half the load. We went and unloaded it, and we tried to move the trailer again. Another tire blew, and the axle got bent even worse. And there are a lot of details I'm leaving out because, you know, I'm not preaching the whole service tonight. But the answer is our trailer right now is down there in Corpus Christi, but God has just really been blessing our ministry. If you and y'all have supported this through your tithes and offerings. When you leave tonight, you'll see a big red semi truck over there by the buses. That's our semi truck that God gave us yesterday. Been totally supernatural, and so I'm working real hard on getting that up and going. We've got a trailer in sight that we're going to be buying, and to make I'm not making a long story short very much, but to just tell you the end of the story, we're coming out with a full-blown 18-wheeler. We've got room to grow. I don't like upgrading because every time you upgrade, you lose money, you lose time. We don't have to upgrade anymore. We can go years and years without having to buy another trailer, without having to buy another truck. So praise God for that. It doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen, but you just do this. This is the only thing that makes sense sometimes, is don't quit.
Hallelujah. I don't suppose there's anybody in here tonight that's in a time or a season or in a situation that you might need a little breakthrough in prayer, and you thought you've been praying, but you just have turned a little cowardly, and you just fainted just a speck, and you've just wanted to kind of give up, and you could just use some corporate prayer tonight. Let's just come on up here if we need some breakthroughs, and Carol, come on up here with me. I think you've done a good job praying through with David. Let's continue. Let's start off just praying for him right now as we open up a time of prayer. If you need some breakthrough, you just come on up here too. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just pray David through for this season. He's got to have the rest of putting all that. Let's start with him, and then let's just pray for these folks.
Hallelujah. Okay, pray for him.
Yes. Start off by praying for him.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, ra ki ka ta da din de. Ambra san den de se gi ke pe 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 di ste. When you give a word, Lord, you back it up. When you give a word, we can move on it. When you give a word, we have assurance. And I thank you for the words that you have spoken to David. I thank you for the words that you've spoken to me. I thank you, God, for the guarantee that we have concerning Harvest Ministries International and the provision. I thank you, God. I am so assured of the guarantee. I do not have to give it a thought. All I have to do is just praise you and magnify you and just speak the word with all boldness. And I thank you that every need is supplied according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You're just an over and above God. And I thank you for doing that in David and in the ministry that you've trusted to him. And we just give you praise, God. We just continue to glorify you. We thank you for these breakthroughs that we've had recently. I sure do thank you for keeping him safe. I thank you for keeping Jason safe. I just give you praise, God, for all that you have done. And I thank you for the unfolding of your will, plan, and purpose in his life and ministry over these next weeks and months and years. And all the fruit that's coming. All the fruit. As Bobby Crowe says, precious souls.
Yes, precious souls.
Hey,
precious souls.
We take them right now.
Yes, we do.
We take them right now. That harvest.
How many of you can
souls.
Agree? We agree.
Hallelujah.
We agree right now for that breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
And we're agreeing for your breakthrough. We're agreeing for your breakthrough. Yes, we do. Yes, we do, Father. I pray persistence. Persistence for the body here.
Hallelujah.
For us to see, Father. For us to see the things you've spoken to us as a church. For us to see the fullness of revival. For us to see, Father God, the fullness of your hand upon us, Father God, individually and corporately.
Hallelujah.
e pei lo bastonamenti da basta e lo mandi di vosto magia e fra e la massa. If you're persisting right now for healing, I want you to wave your hand right now.
Yes.
You're persisting for healing in your body. For healing in your body, just wave your hand. Father, we agree. We agree with these ones that are standing. They're standing for a full manifestation in their bodies. A full manifestation, Father God. Healing from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We agree. Uncover. Uncover. Uncover.
Yes.
Uncover things.
Yes.
Uncover things, Father, that would try to hinder, that would try to obstruct.
Jeez.
Uncover.
Yes.
Uncover things in the realm of the
uncover
Spirit.
Them.
Show
uncover
them clearly. Show them
Lord,
clearly, Lord, what they need to do and the pathway to their wholeness, Father.
Yeah, the pathway,
how they need to follow through.
Pathway.
How they need to
show
follow
it
through. And
yes,
give them a word from you, Lord.
Yes.
Give them a word from you.
Yes.
A clear word.
A clear word.
A clear word.
A clear
so they can
word
be confident.
Life word.
Confident in you, Father.
Yes.
Confident in you.
Confident,
confident Lord God. Ah, that they can persist.
Yes.
That they can persist,
yes,
Father.
Yes.
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 They'll
press in.
Yes.
They'll press in.
Press in.
That little woman.
Yes.
Touch the hem of your garment.
Yes.
Lord.
Press in.
We'll reach down into the recesses of our soul and our spirit, and we believe you. We believe God.
We believe God.
We believe the
we
word
believe
of
your
God.
Word.
Hallelujah.
We believe the price has been paid. We believe it, Lord. Thank you. You're setting us up. You're setting
yes
us up, God.
Yes.
You're
yes
setting us up. Just like David said, he didn't think the timing. He didn't think the timing. He didn't understand the timing.
Jeez.
There's some of you that are in situations where you're not understanding the timing because you're too caught up thinking it needed to have happened yesterday. But God is never too late.
Yeah,
He's
never
too late. He's an on-time God.
Yes.
He's an on-time
yes
God. Just
on
keep
time
building muscles.
Yes.
Just keep building muscles.
Yes.
Just keep pressing
yes
toward it.
Yes.
Keep
press
pressing
toward it.
Toward do whatever you
press
can do. Do whatever you can do.
Yes.
Whatever you can
yes
do. Just move toward your promise.
Yeah.
Move
just
toward it
moving
in whatever way you can in the realm of the Spirit. Elibosta. E libero namaste. E brandi stombrechia. Illuminate. Illuminate, Father. Illuminate for each and every one, Father. Illuminate their path. Illuminate the pathway, Lord God.
Yes.
That they can walk in the light of the Lord.
Yes.
They can walk in the light, Father.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Where's the person that's dealing with tightness in their chest? Where's the person? Where's the person that's been dealing with tightness right here in their chest? If you're here, just come over here. Just come over here real quickly. Where are you? The person that's had tightness right here in your chest. Somebody, kishnimbrindista. Ah, ha, ha. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it'll stay gone. It stays 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 gone. Ha, 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 le matamaha. Adibandemaka. Ibrenimaka. Edinemaste. I hear business. Business breakthroughs, business breakthroughs. Just reach out and say, I'm going to take hold of that. If that's you, a business breakthrough. You need a business breakthrough. Something in the realms of business. Something in the realms of business. You need a supernatural connection, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say. There needs to be a divine connection. A divine connection for you. Somebody needs to carry through and do what God's called them to do. And so I pray for you right now that someone is carrying through right now and doing, obeying God on your behalf. Favor surrounds you like a shield and business opportunities. God said effectual doors. They prayed for effectual doors. They don't come without adversity. Without the adversity, they don't come without that, but it's an effectual door, an effectual door for your business, for your business, because God has put it in your heart. Yeah, you say, God's put it in my heart to be a giver. I don't know why I've been fought so hard, just exactly because of that. That's why you've been fought so hard, because it's in your heart to be a giver. And the devil's trying to stop it. But you know what? You just turn around and say, the devil, you stop it. You stop it. You stop harassing my business. You stop harassing my finances. You stop it. You stop it. God's made a covenant with me. Peace and prosperity dwell within the walls of my home. He leads me in the way that I should profit. He teaches me how to prosper.
Yes. Yes.
Business comes to me.
Yes.
I'm one in a million. I'm one in a million.
Yes.
1,000 fall at our side, 10,000 our right hand.
Right.
But it doesn't come near us. No lack. No lack. No want. In Jesus' name. Oh, there's so many things. I just feel like a flooding of things in my heart. Of things that require persistence. Just a flood of things that we're all standing for that it require persistence. Take hold of this tonight. Take hold of this tonight. Maybe for some reason you were taught that you didn't have to pray through. That it just should all happen just because you prayed and asked God to do it. And you just thought that you were just supposed to take it. And just you just started believing that it just wasn't yours. It just you just couldn't have it. Just don't believe it. It's a lie. God is withholding no good thing from you. No good thing from you. Whatever's good and beneficial to you, God will get to you if you'll keep pressing through. Amen? If you'll keep pressing through. So we're not going to let go. We're not going to let go. We're not letting go. We're not letting go. Shoot, la masto, baha. We're not letting go. Just say, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. Sometimes you have to stir yourself up and get a little fight in you. You know, I said that earlier. I said, I'm very phlegmatic. I don't like conflict. I don't like fights. You know, when I was a little girl, my dad and mom would fight a lot. And I would go hide under the covers because I didn't like it when they fought. And I would hide. And I found that as I grew up, I still wanted to hide when there was fighting. When it came to having to fight, I wanted to hide. I wanted to get under the covers. But we got to come out from under the covers. And we got to take hold of God. And we don't do it in our own strength. You can say like me, well, it's not my personality. I mean, the most violent thing I ever did was I slammed the door one time. I mean, that's just as violent as I've personally ever been. But God will put a fight in you. Once the devil starts messing with you, then you get a fight in you. And it may not be my personality, but God's put a fight in me. Because the devil's messed with me a lot and tried to hold me down, and I'm not staying down. So, you know, when you get knocked down, you just don't get knocked out. You just get back up on your feet again and say, I'm not staying down. I'm not playing dead anymore. I'm not playing dead anymore because I'm alive in God. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And that Spirit is quickening my mortal body. And that resurrection, experiencing the resurrection. You may have had your business go down. You may have had your family go down. You may have had your marriage go down. But the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And it's resurrection. It's resurrection. He said he's going to lift you out from among the dead while you're still in your body. I'm thankful that we're going to be lifted out from among the dead in the sweet by and by, but we're going to be lifted out right now. We're not going down dead. We'll go down fighting if we go down, but we're not going down. Amen? So we get on our feet. We contend for the faith. We contend for the glory. We contend for what God has given us and told us we can have. Amen? So don't quit. Don't quit. Just get your own little don't quit sign. We may have to pull another box of them out, Pastor, and just pass them out again. Just pass them out again because we ain't quitting. Amen? We're going to persist and stay with it. Amen. God bless you.
Well, let's lift our hands and praise God for the victory tonight. Hallelujah. Tell you what I want us to do before we leave tonight. Let's bless Brother David with a love offering. Let's just do that. God's already been talking to some of you. Yeah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. One of you gentlemen, help her here. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, just make a check out to the church.